Shalom Rabosa, I hope all is good. Gudvach. Today's daf is Ervin daf Chof Zayin. We have the schus of starting the third parak in Maseches Ervin. And this parak deals primarily with Eruvei Tchumim. And we have discussed in the past about how there's a din that a person has 2,000 amos to travel on Shabbos. We had mentioned that Rabbi Kiva holds that this is the Araisa, but most agree and assume that this is Derabanan. But either way, you have 2,000 amos to travel on Shabbos, and that is from your, what the phrase is called, Makom Shvisa, from the place where you take up your residence on Shabbos. You have 2,000 amos in every direction. Now, there is a person is able to make an Eruv Tchumim, which basically, now it doesn't extend necessarily, just to explain the mechanism a little bit before we get into the perek. It doesn't extend the 2,000 amos limit. You still have 2,000 amos from where you set up your dwelling, from where you set up your shvisa, from where you set up your residence. But what the Erev does for you is that it simply moves your place of residence, your makom shvisa, to where the Erev is. So, for example, if you want to travel 4,000 amos east, so you would set up an Erev Tchumim 2,000 amos from where you are staying, and you go back and stay 2,000 amos west of the Eruv, and then you would travel 4,000 amos east, because you really, your makom shvisa, your place of residence, is really in the middle, in 2,000 amos from where your house is. However, you would not be able to go in the other direction any amount whatsoever. Because again, if you can imagine, just, you know, you have a 2,000 amos radius from wherever you're dwelling, from wherever you're staying, keeping Shabbos. Your Eruv, if you put an Eruv, so that just simply moves the center of your circle, of your, it moves the center of the circle, and now you have 2,000 amos from wherever your Eruv is. Now, the Eruv, as we're going to see in the first mission over here, it has to be some sort of food. And it has to be in a place, as we'll discuss, where you can access it. If it's in a different Rishus, already we saw that earlier in the Masechta, that if it's in a different place, if you're in, for example, Rishus or Abim, and the Eruv is in Rishus or Yachad or Carmelis or whatever, something that's inaccessible, so that could be an issue as well. But let's, okay, so with that little short introduction, let's read the Mishnah. So the Mishnah says like this, on Chav Vav Amud Beis, Bakol Ma'arvin Mishtatfin. We mentioned that the difference in the language between Ma'arvin and Mishtatfin really is talking about the same thing, the same mechanism mostly, but usually Ma'arvin is an Eruv, is talking about, Rashi says, Eruv Chatzeros and Tchumim. Tosus doesn't like that so much, but either way, let's say the topic of our perek, Eruv refers to Eruv Tchum, and Mishtatfin refers to Shtufin Mavos, combining a Mavui with some chatzeros. But basically the mechanism is the same, it's just a different word when you're talking about different types of eruvim. So you're allowed to use anything for an eruv tchumim and for a shtufim mevos, chutz min amayim min amelach, except for water and salt. And we'll see, because you need to have some sort of fruit, Gemara calls it peros, that's why I'm saying fruit, but you need to have some sort of produce, some sort of food as your eruv, and that does, amayim min amelach do not count. Similarly, once we're talking about that, everything can be bought with kesef meiser sheni. Meiser sheni, we know, has to be produce that you have to eat in Yerushalayim if you're too far away from Yerushalayim. So you redeem the meiser sheni fruit and you take money to Yerushalayim and you buy food there. Everything counts as food, chutz min amayim min amelach, except for the same thing, water and salt. Hanoder min amazon, similarly, if someone makes a neder not to partake of mazon, of food that nourishes you, mutter b'mayim b'melach. Right, the text over here, what does that change to? Changes to b'mayim b'melach. Yeah, okay, fine. It's kind of the same thing. Oh, melach b'mayim, mayim b'melach, or whatever. You're allowed to have melach b'mayim. Again, the same idea that water and salt is not nourishing. Would not be included in a nether against nourishing food. Ma'arvin lanazir layayin uli Yisrael betruma. Similarly, you're allowed to make an eruv for a nazir with wine. Right? Again, the call of the Mishnah is saying is that you don't actually have to be able to eat the food. Right? A nazir obviously can't drink wine, and Yisrael obviously cannot eat truma. Sumchas omer bechulin. Sumchas says no. You do need to make sure that the Yisrael can eat the food, that he can't have truma, it has to be chulin. And Gemara will talk about whether he argues about nazir wine for a nazir. Well, lekoyim beis apras, you can also put the eruv. This is the Tanakhama, if I'm not mistaken. This is not Sunchus. The Tanakhama says that you're allowed to put the Eruv in a Beis HaPras. In general, a coin can't get into a Beis HaPras because a Beis HaPras is a field where a grave has been plowed over, and you're not sure where the grave is. We're concerned that maybe it'll be pieces of bone fragments or whatever, something that will be in the time of the coin found in the field. In general, a coin's not allowed to go into a Beis HaPras. You are allowed to put the Eruv into the Beis HaPras for a Kohen. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Afil Beis HaKfaros. You can even put in a Beis HaKfaros, because you can make a mechitza and go in and get the food and eat. How would you make a mechitza between the graves and the Kohen? So Rashi says over here, if you look at the top Rashi, Lasos mechitza beinolo bein hakever, shalu yaya lolov, kigon how? Kigon shida tevo migdal, yikanis sham mi bo yom ba galos. The coin can go in a box, he can go in a carriage, in some way to, again, in that way there will be an ohel over the mace, and the coin is on top of the ohel, so that would stop the tumah from going up. Okay, either way, the coin could figure out a way to get in there, and therefore he can get his eruv and go eat it. Okay. Now, if you remember, the Mishnah had said, Bakol ma'arvin chutz min amayim melamelach. So Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Yochanan, ain lamidin min haklolos." We don't assume that it's only specifically right, counterintuitive to what logic might dictate. When the Mishnah says you can do everything for a certain action except for A, B, C, and D, that is not a hard and fast rule. Afilu b'makom shenamar b'chutz. Even in a place where the Mishnah says except, you can do everything except this, we assume that there may be some things that are left over. It may not necessarily be only water and salt, for example. So Gemara is going to go through a couple of the cases to explain what Rabbi Yochanan means, that we don't take Mishnayos at their absolute 100% face value, and it could be a couple other things included. So the Gemara says, but the fact that Rabbi Yochanan said, we don't learn from the klolos, from these general rule, and even when it says a place of chutz, right, that seems to imply that Rabbi Yochanan's statement was not going on our Mishnah. Right? Because if Rabbi Yochanan was going on our Mishnah, right, you don't need to tell me even in a place where it says chutz, because here it says chutz. Right? Our case is, there's a rule, and you can use whatever you want, except for these two things. Well, Rabbi Yochanan said, in general, we don't use the rules as an absolute, even in a case where it says klal, a kol, everything is included except for this. Well, if he was talking about our Mishnah, right, he wouldn't have said that. He would have just said that in a case where there's a chutz, you don't go by the rule. Right? Not even in a case. So heicha koi. So what was Rabbi Yochanan talking about when he said this statement? So you say, Gemara says, hasam koi. Really, he was over there. It's a Mishnah in Kiddushin. Kol mitzvah aseh shes man grama. Anashim chayavim v'nashim pturos. Right? If you have a mitzvah seishes man grama, fairly well known halacha, women are pater for mitzvah seishes man grama. Which is low as man grama, and if it's not a time bound mitzvah, as we usually translate, echa anashim v'echa anashim chayavim, men and women are chayav. Uklolahu, and it's a rule. Right? This is a rule. The kol mitzvah seishes man grama, anashim pturos. So, but it's not really true because are matzah simcha v'hakel. Right? You have three mitzvos. Right, matzah, obviously that first night of Pesach. Simcha is a mitzvah to be misameach on the chagim, and hakel is right. It happens after Shemitah and Sukkot in the eighth year. And hakel, you have to come. Right, there's mitzvah zeishes man grama huv and ashim chayavos. Right, women are chayav in those three mitzvos. So we see that Rabbi Yochanan, again, that was Rabbi Yochanan said. He said, yeah, okay, the Mishnah says women are always potter. Mitzvah zeishes man grama. Okay, it's not really true. It's not absolute. There are a few exceptions. And the other way as well. V'chol mitzvah seishes lo as man grama, nashim chayavos, are women chayav in every single mitzvah seishes shelo as man grama? Harei Talmud Torah, piru v'yirvya, piru l'ben. Right, you have three mitzvahs, Talmud Torah, right? Piru revu, we assume, is a man's mitzvah. The woman certainly has a chelik in the mitzvah, but we assume that's the mitzvah of the man. And piru l'ben, the Torah pasuk says specifically, it's a mitzvah for the man to be poda his son. Mitzvah seishes man grama, v'nashim p'tiros, where you see that women are potter. So we see this is Rabbi Yochanan's statement that when we say a general rule in the Mishnah, sometimes there are exceptions. Amar Abaye, Abaye says, some people said it's Rabbi Yirmiya. I'll bring you another proof that this is true. So, Od Klal Acher Amru, Another rule was said, this is talking about a little bit less well known, is a din of a zav. Again, a zav is somebody who saw an emission, he's tame. Kol shenisa agave hazav tame. Anything that is carried on top of or by the zav is tame. Kol shazav nisa alav, but anything that is the zav is being carried by it, tahor. Well, let's say if you can imagine he's carried on a, I don't know, a chair, a table, whatever, that item is going to be tahor. Chutz min aroy lemishkav u'moshav, except if something is fit to be sat on or to lie down on. Ve'ha'adam, and a person is also tameh if he carries a zav. Gemara says v'sulaka. There are other things that are also going to be mitameh, that become tameh if a zav is carried by them. Vayika Markev, not sure, Merka, Markev, whatever it is, it means a saddle. Things that are you ride on. Right? So the Gemara says, well, I guess, yeah. But first, Markev is something that you ride on, and then the Gemara is going to talk about it in a second. Hi, Markev, Echidami, what is the case? Idi Yosef Aleha, Hainu Moshev. Right? If he's sitting on the saddle, that's Chumas Moshev, Chuma from sitting on it. So Anan Hachi coming on. So this is what we mean to say. Vayika Gava de Uchva. Really, you have the pommel of the saddle. If you can imagine a saddle, that's the place where the cowboy or whatever puts your hands, right, a little piece in front where you can hold on. So that you're not sitting on, but it's a piece of the saddle, so you will still be metame. Titanya ha'ukaf, because we turn that the that's a ukaf is a saddle. Tame moshav is tame if the zav sits on it. Vatoflus, and the pommel is tame merkav, is tame because of this tumah of merkav. There are nafkaminas between Mishkav, the tumah of Moshav, and the tumah of Mishkav, and the tumah of merkav. That's in Mishnais and Kalim, and I don't remember the difference over there. If I'm not mistaken, it's towards the beginning, but I don't remember. But there are differences between whether something is tame Moshav or tame Markev, Merkav. Again, I'm sorry about the pronunciation. But Elish, I mean, no, ain't the mitzvah klolos. So you see over here that, yeah, okay, there are a couple exceptions. Right? We said that Zav is only tame if he can ride on it or if it's a person. Well, we see that this pommel is also included. It's going to be tame Merkav. It's not listed in the Mishnah. So we see that the Mishnayos are not always, they're not necessarily absolute. Okay. I'll bring you another proof, another case. Our Mishnah. Right, you can make an Erev with everything except for water and salt. But one second, there are other exceptions. You can't use mushrooms, which the Gemara will talk about. So, okay, we see that this concept that the Mishnayos are not necessarily absolute, and even if it says except for A, B, and C, we see that there still could be some more exceptions as well. Okay. Fine. Okay, vital. The Mishnah said like this, that same along the same lines, that food and that salt and water is not considered to be mazon. So same thing, if you have to purchase funds, that is, in terms of you redeemed your Maaser Sheni outside of Yerushalayim, and you brought the money to Yerushalayim, so you have to buy food, you have to buy mazon, so water and salt are not included. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yosef Bar Chanina have machlokas. Chad masni a'eru, v'chad masni Maaser. Right? Both of them taught, well, it's not a machlokas really, but both of them taught this halacha. One of them taught it about an eruv, one of them taught about Maaser. Again, that water and salt do not count. Chad masni a'eruv. Again, our Mishnah quotes both of them, but okay, either way, this is how the Rabbanim taught. Chad masni a'eruv v'oshna elamayim. Bifnei atzmo v'melech bifnei atzmo. Both of them taught that when we say mayim and melech, that's if they're separate. But the in ma'arvin, that you're not allowed to use them for an eruv tchumim. Aval mayim u'melech, but if you have water and salt together, so then ma'arvin, then you can use it. If you look at Rashi, mayim u'melech, what's the reason? Why can you use them together? Because now you've created a new kind of entity. Hamuravin mazonein. If you combine water and salt, that's considered mazon. Letavol behem pito, because now you can dip your, right, we dip Friday, Seder night, right? We dip in salt water, so that's the thing. That's the thing, to dip your bread in salt water. That's already a dip, is, I guess, mazon, but separate, water and salt are not considered necessarily mazon. Okay, so that was one of them taught about in Eruv. And the other one taught the same halacha, but about Maaser. Maaser is one I'm taught about Maaser Sheni. Lo shanu ela mayim lefnei atzmo, melech lefnei atzmo, de'in nichin. You're not allowed to buy them separately with my funds of Meister Sheni. Aval Mayim Melach Nichim Bekesef Meister. But if it's together, then you are allowed to use Kesef Meister Sheni to buy salt water. So Man Demasni Meister. So according to the Man Damu, who says you're allowed to use money of Meister Sheni to buy water and salt, Kol Shekein Na'iruv. Certainly, you're allowed to use it for an Erev, as we'll see. There's an extra chumrah by Meiser Sheni that the pasuk is written in the pasuk. Uman de masni ha'Erev, but the guy who says that you're allowed to use it for an Erev, of a Meiser lo, but you're not allowed to use money of Meiser Sheni to buy salt water. My time, huh? Why? Pira ve'inan, because you need pira. Right? As we're going to see, we're going to learn. Amud Beis, there's a whole drasha in terms of what exactly you need to buy with Meiser Sheni, but you need to have pira. Pira doesn't literally means fruit, but it means produce, food, mazon, right? It's an extra pasuk that teaches me you need to buy something a little bit of a higher stature for Meiser Sheni. Okay. Ki Aser Rav Yitzchak, when Rav Yitzchak came, Masni Ameiser, right? He taught it, the halacha about Meiser, right? He included both of them, right? You're allowed to use water, you're allowed to use salt water for both an Eruv and buy with the money of Meiser Sheni. Meisme, hold on, I'll ask you a question. Hey, Rav Yehuda ben Gadish, Lefnei Rav Eliezer, Shal Beis Abba, Hayulokrim tzir. Oh, sorry, I read that poorly. Right, Hey Rabbi Yochanan Gadish Lefnei Rabbi Eliezer. So he was made, but he testified. He said before Rabbi Eliezer, Shelbeis Abba, my father's house. Hayulokrim tzir b'kesef meiser. He used to buy tzir. Tzir is like fish brine. It's like a fish. You know, the leftovers of a fish. He had some shmal tearing, so you know, the leftovers of a fish. So he would be able to buy this fish brine with Kesef Meiser Sheni. So Amar lo, Shema lo shamata, right? Maybe you didn't hear it properly. Ela kishikarve dagim uravim b'hem. Right? That's only if you have some substance of the fish mixed together. But actual fish brine, right, is not good enough. Right? That's not it's basically like salted water. Right? That's not actually good. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish didn't even mean that. He meant that he bought fish brine that had some oil in it. Like the piru, because that's already considered some sort of produce, some sort of food, some sort of muzzle. But straight up salt water, that's not what he meant at all. Fine. Right, again, if you look at Rashi over here, he didn't even, Rabbi Yehuda Ben Gadish didn't even need to include the fish innards or the fish insides or whatever fish leftovers in the fish brine, because as long as there was some sort of shemen, so that would make it into a mazon. So Amar Yosef, Lonitzucha Elishinasa Lasochan Shemen. Again, he said the same idea, but that's you can only buy salt water if there's some oil inside of it. And again, you can kind of schlep along the salt water with the oil. So I'm going to buy it, but typically mishum shemen. So why don't you just tell me, right? It's mutter to buy shemen. So lo tzricha el shenasan demei mayim umelach behavla. No. So the only thing you need to teach me is because let's say a cup of oil would be $1, and you bought oil, water, and salt, and you ended up paying $1.50 to include the water and the salt. So you might have thought, right, that the Meiser Sheni money, right, since you already you're paying more with the Meiser Sheni money for this mixture, but really the only thing technically you're allowed to buy is the oil. So you're paying kilu, it's almost like you're paying extra for the oil. So you might have thought that that'd be a problem. So Kamash Malanda, that is fine, even though you're kind of overpaying, right, and you're including the price of the two items that you're not allowed to use, right, if you're... It's kahavla, literally means to swallow. So you're swallowing up the price of the other stuff with the oil, even though that's really what you're buying, so that's totally fine. So Gemara says, does that really work? Is that really fine? Bavla mishari, you're allowed to buy other items along with the item that's mother. So Gemara says, sure it is. Vatanya, we learned in a brisa, Rashi says, benichusa, it's not a proof. Usually Vatanya is a kasha, but this Vatanya is benichusa, which means nicely, it's a support. Ben Bagbag Omer, Ben Bagbag says, Babakar, again, this is where we get the drasha part of today's daf. Just to read the whole pasuk, because we're going to darshan the whole thing out. This is talking about Meiser Sheni. The pasuk says, Menazata Kesef Bechol Ashet Haven Afshecha. You can take the money and you can apply it to whatever you want, whatever your heart desires. Babakar, Batzon, V'yayin, V'sheichar, meat, ox, cow, whatever it is, sheep, wine, shechar usually means beer, it could mean some old wine, whatever. Whatever your heart desires. Right, in front of Hashem, and you'll be very, very happy. So the Gemara darshens out these four items that we mentioned, right? If Pasuk says you can eat whatever you want, gives you four examples, bakar tzot, yayin, and shechar, and then it says, again, whatever you want. So there are two ways to darshen this out. So something called a kalu prat klal, and there's something called a ribui miut and a ribui, and whichever one you choose is going to have different results. And we'll see in a second. Okay, so now that you have that little background, let's just read the Pasuk, or read the Gemara, rather. Ben Bagbag says, Babakar, what do you learn from that? Malami shalukhin bakar agav oro. You're allowed to buy, again, with this whole concept of havalah, you're allowed to buy meat with the skins. As you're allowed to buy skins with Meiser Sheni money, even though obviously you don't eat the skins, but you're still allowed to buy it along with the meat, and that's fine. Uvatson, what is that? Malami shalukhin son agav gizasa. Right, you're also allowed to buy meat with skin and wool, and then keep the wool. Merubayayin, or let's say, obviously, the more common case would be that you would buy the entire animal, yeah, and then for the meat, etc., etc. All right. Either way, vayayin. What about vayayin? Malay mishalokin yayin al gav kankano. You can buy wine and the bottle that it's in, or the barrel rather. Uvashechar. What about the beer? Malay mishalokin temed mishehichmitz. Shechar is usually beer. Here it seems to be older wine. Because you're also buying temed. Temed is like kind of like the leftovers after you squeeze the juice out of the grapes. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, they make temed is not that. Temed is a drink or some sort of fermented drink that they make from the leftover grape seeds or grape whatever grape stuff after you squeeze the grapes and get the wine out of it. Okay, fine. So now Rabbi Yochanan says like this. He doesn't understand how Ben Bagba got these drushes from that pasuk. So Rabbi Yochanan says, "I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Mind the targum libe bakar alib de Ben Bagba." If someone who explains this whole drush of Ben Bagba, "Movilna mane abasre lebe masusa," I'll carry his clothes to the bathhouse for him. Meaning, I will. He'll be my rebbe, and I'll be mishamish him. I'll serve him. Because I really don't understand this drasha. And he's going to go and explain why the drasha doesn't necessarily work. It's a long back and forth, hopefully we'll try to explain it as best we can. So he says, "My time, akulu tzrichi, levavim bachar." What's the meaning? My time. What's the reason? Why is it so difficult? This whole drasha, kulu tzrichi levavim bachar, because I need all of these psukim, all of these examples in the pasuk. Right? We had bakar, tzon, yayin, and shechar. So Rabbi Yochanan says, I need all the examples except for bakar, except for cows. The lo tzorich, which he doesn't need. My tzrichi, what do you need? With all the other ones, because the ikaz of Rahman Bakar, see if you can follow the logic. If the Torah would have written Babakar, Havamina Bakar, Hu Demizdavin, Al Gav Oro, right, I would have assumed, right, that you're allowed to buy cow meat with the skins, Mishum de Gufahu, because that's a part of the animal. That's a part of the animal. You can't just chop off the skins, right, and get the meat without getting to the skin. So you're allowed to buy them together because that's how they come together. Avotzon, agav gizasa, right? What about sheep with its wool? You can shear off the wool and then sell the sheep like that. Right? The laf gufahu, it's not actually part of the body that you need to take off, right? Amalo. Whereas you might have thought that it's not allowed to use, you're not allowed to use Meiser Sheni money for that. Because of Rahman Avotzon, and if you would have only had the pasuk of Avotzon, agav gizasa, right? You would have thought that that drasha, you can buy sheep meat with its wool. Havamina mishum de bechumarba. Okay, that's because it's attached. But wine with a barrel or a bottle, so what does that have to do with anything? So you may not have known that. So therefore, the pasuk needed to write the word bayayin. Because of Rahman bayayin, and if the Torah would have said only bayayin, right? You might have thought that you're allowed to buy the wine with the barrel because, well, how are you getting wine without a container? You can't get a container. Wine without a container, wine is going to go everywhere. It means it contains it. So that's one thing. Aval temed, but this temed mishehichmitz tikiyus of almahu emalo. Right, this whole thing with the temed, the extra seeds of the leftover, the grapes, this new drink that it's made. What does that have to do with anything? So kaser of mana sheikhar. So therefore, the pasuk says that you can buy this old stuff this old seeds or whatever it is, with the pasuk says, because of Rachman HaShecha, that you are allowed, in fact, to buy that stuff. Because of Rachman HaShecha, and backwards. And if you would only have had the pasuk of HaShecha, Havamina my HaShecha, what would you have thought that HaShecha means? Devela Ki'ilis. You might have thought that a fig cake from Ki'ila, Deperuhu, because that's already food. That's fruit. Right, that's mazon. But since a barrel or a bottle is not food, so you might have thought that that doesn't count. So therefore, you need the pasuk of yayin. Because of Rachman Abay Yayin, if the Torah would have only told you yayin, agav kankano, to teach me that you're allowed to buy the barrel with my zersheni wine, because that's what contains it. That's the way you buy wine. How else are you going to get the wine? But you might have thought, what does wool on a sheep have to do with anything? Because of Rachman Atzon. So therefore, the pasuk taught me son, dafilu agav gizasa, that you're even allowed to buy a sheep with its wool. But babakar lamali. Right, but what do you need the pasuk? And this is the Rabbi Yochanan's kasha. What do you need the pasuk of babakar? Right. Once you know you can buy wool with a sheep, obviously you can buy meat, right? Cow meat with its skin. Right? That's much closer to the meat. That's right on top of it. If you can buy the wool, which is totally not relevant to the meat, certainly you can buy the skin on top of the meat. So v'chitei ma'ilu because of Rachman al-Bakar. And if you'll tell me, maybe the drasha, what do you need the pasuk of babakar for? It's havamina tzon agav ora in agav gizasalo. You might have thought that tzon, the drasha for tzon, doesn't tell me you can keep the wool. It tells me you can keep the skin. So therefore, because of Rachman al-Bakar la'asui oro. So therefore, the pasuk says no. The drasha by sheep is to include the wool, and therefore babakar, the drasha by the cow is to include the skins. So therefore, meaning, and therefore the tzon refers to wool and bakar refers to skin. So that Rabbi Yochanan doesn't like that so much, because he lokas of Rachman bakar, because if you wouldn't have had the word babakar, lo havamina tzon agav ora in agav gizasalo, you would never have learned that tzon means a skin and not wool. Because then you could have just written bakar, right? Because which has no wool. The memela isolates tzon, so that you wouldn't need the pasuk of tzon. So the kevah the kazer rachman tzon afilu gav gizasa. So therefore, right, the Torah wrote sheep because specifically to refer to the wool, and therefore babakar lamale. So what do you need the pasuk of babakar? Hashat tzon gav gizasa mizdavna. Right, if for sure, if you're allowed to buy sheep with wool. So you don't even need to teach me that you're allowed to buy a cow with its skin. That's for sure. That's one step closer to the meat. So and this is what Rabbi Yochanan meant. Man did the target leave a bakar, leave the ben bagbag, movil namane the bemisu. So that's why Rabbi Yochanan was so perplexed by this whole drasha, because the logic dictates that you don't really need the word bakar in the pasuk to teach me that you can buy skin with the cow meat. Sheesh. Okay. A little bit weiter now. So we said before, so again, the Gemara doesn't really elaborate on that. That's kind of the end of it. So he didn't really like that drasha so much. Rabbi Yochanan didn't like Ben Bagbag's drasha. Again, that was trying to prove whether Havla was mutter. We had had a statement before that said Havla was mutter, that again, to buy shemen with my zersheni money, along with the salt water. Right? We originally assumed that was mutter to pay, let's say, $1.50 for oil and salt water, even though the salt on the water is not mutter to be bought with my zersheni money by itself, but it's allowed to be bought agav, right, on the back of, included in with the oil. And we said, is that really mutter? And we brought this whole drasha, and then Rabbi Yochanan didn't like that drasha. Okay, fine. So before we had said, again, on Aman Aleph, there was Machogas Rabbi Yehuda ben Kadesh and Rabbi Elezer, and you're allowed to buy Machogas, whether you're allowed, what do you have to do with these fish brine? What do you have to do with this fish, Brian? And now we're going to say, what's the machlokes over here? Let's read the Gemara, and if I missed some sort of introduction, we'll just I'll just give it then. But my kamifli, Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish, Rabbi Elazar, v'hani tanai d'lekamon. What is the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish and Rabbi Elazar, and the Tanaim who are upcoming? Oh, right. Okay. So the Tanaim, which we're not going to read, I guess we will read a little bit. And say that you're not allowed to buy fish with Maaser Sheni money. Right? Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish, Rabbi Elazar, who allowed you to buy fish brine, right? The machlokas was simply how you have to get it. Is it with oil, or is it with what's it called, or is it with a part of the fish? But with some, you're allowed to buy fish. The Tanaim upcoming, right, which we're going to quote in a second, do not allow you to buy fish with Maaser Sheni money, as we'll see in a second, by the Joshua and how you darshan out this pasuk. Right. Okay. So what is the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish and Rabbi Elazar and the Tanaim who are about to darshan out the pasuk differently? Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish and Rabbi Elazar darshi ribui v'miut v'hani Tanai darshi klali uprati. So that's the machlokas, meaning how you darshan out this pasuk which we've been talking about. Again, just to refrain, not to refrain, to rephrase or mention again. You can take Maaser Sheni money, you can buy whatever you want, but that's a general buy whatever you want. Specific examples, and then and you can buy whatever you want. So you have a klal uprat uklal, a general rule, a specific rule, or a general rule, or you have a ribui, an inclusion, meaning whatever you want, a miut, what's the opposite of an inclusion? Something specific. Yeah, something that is specific, right? The specific examples that we gave, or and then another ribui, you can buy whatever you want. So whether you use klal uprat uklal or ribui miut ribui will determine how you learn out the halacha. The Gemara is going to explain that right now. Right? If you ever said Rabbi Shmuel at the end of Karbanos, so now's the time to kind of brush up on that. Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish, Rabbi Elazar darshi ribui miut. So those Tanaim learn it based on the ribui miut ribui system. Because the pasuk says, "Vanasata kesef b'chol nashen ta'aven afshecha riba," right? It's that first part is an inclusion. But b'bakar b'atzon b'ayin v'sheichar miut. That's an exclusion or a limited, specific examples. B'chol shet teshalak on afshecha chaz over riba. Then you have another inclusion. And what's the din when you have a riba miut to riba? Riba call that includes everything, right? My riba kol mili. What does it include? It includes everything. My miut. So and then, just to explain, it includes everything except for one specific exclusion. So my riba. What does it include? It includes everything. My miut. What does it exclude? So Rabbi Elazar miut. See Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish miut mayim umelach. Right? Kudner Rabbi Elazar. It excludes this tzir, this fish brine. And kudner Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish. It excludes water and salt. So that, but they both agree that fish is allowed to be bought with Maaser Sheni money. V'hani Tanai, the Tanai, which we're about to quote right now, right? They darshi klali uprati. They use a klal upratu klal drasha. The Tanya b'nasa the kesef b'chol shetavan afshecha klal. That's the klal, the general statement. You can buy whatever you want. But b'bakar b'atan v'yayin v'sheichar, the specific examples, that's a prat. And then b'chol shetavan afshecha chazru klal. That's in a general, again, you can buy whatever you want. So therefore, klal upratu klal, how do you darshan that out? The only thing you can use is similar to the specific examples, right? Unlike a ribui miut ribui, which will say that really everything's included except for one specific example that's excluded, a klal uprat uklal says no. You can only things that are included are similar to the specific examples given in the pasuk. So ma prat mefuresh pri mi pri udu de karka. Just like the food that we have is what we have: cows, sheep, wine, and shechar. So it's fruit. And it comes from the ground, meaning it grows on the ground, right? Just the animals and fruit and whatever is produce. So afko primi pri, we could do the karka, right? That will include everything that goes from the ground and is considered to be some sort of produce. V'tanya idach, and the other brisa says, ma prat mefurish vlad vlad. The other way to learn it is ma prat mefurish vlad vlad this aretz. Just like the example, the specific examples that we have in the pasuk are born of the earth, okay. So Av Kol Vlad Vlad Uzara, so too everything that was born of the earth. So that's where those Tanaim are going to say that, listen, fish does not fall under any of those categories. Right? It's not born of the earth, according to that way you learn. And it's also not fruit or anything that gets its muzzle from the ground. So therefore, it's going to be excluded from Meiser Sheni money. Okay, we're going to go more, we're going to do more of this Machlokas tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem, but that's a pretty good overview of what's going on. Okay, Shkoyach Gadol, I have a tremendous week, Rabbosai, prepping for Rosh Hashanah, and have a great day or night, depending on where you are listening to this.